So the whole idea, you know, if everything is coming out in the form of information from Brahman, from Atman, then there is nothing for you to say, this is friend or enemy. Is that point clear? No, not very clear. But just to give a hint for you to think over. You know, you are dreaming. And in the dream, you see that two fellows are coming. And one fellow gives you a rasagulla, another fellow snatches it and runs away from you. Then you are very angry in the dream with the fellow who snatched it away,
yes,
and very happy with the fellow who brought it. I also get angry, you know. Some devotees come to me, bring packet of rasagulla. In front of all the fellows, Swamiji, I brought rasagulla for you. I get very angry. Why don't quietly put some corner and later on inform me about it? Now I have to, you know, be a sadhu. So, you are very angry, you are very happy. This is friend, this is enemy. Then you wake up. Who is your friend and who is your enemy?
You.
That is the point he is making, that your friend and enemy is nothing but pieces of information, pieces of thoughts, and those thoughts are coming from whom? From you. This is a very wonderful thing, but we have to practice it in order to realize that that is the truth. Because as long as you are in the dream, you will not realize. Because in the dream it is absolutely real, separate. But when we wake up only, then only we understand it. Through practice, that's what we have to do, wake up from this dream. That is why it is said, Srishti Sthiti Laya is nothing but God having a wonderful dream. What is that suddenly? Am I dreaming or is it real?
Maharaj.
Yeah.
I have a mental block about something that I have trouble with. You used the example of that table, and Yajnavalkya, when he's listing all those things to Maitreyi, which are really the self, one example he gives among all the others is wealth.
Yeah.
And the mental block I have is I don't see how inanimate objects can be the self. I see it with living things more easily than with inanimate objects like wealth or a table.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It is, you know, you think over it, whether it is living or non-living. Who makes this division? Again, take the example of the dream. In the dream, you are walking and there are pieces of rock, jagged rocks, and you lost your shoes, you are walking on those rocks. So do you say they are living? Do you say the rocks living? So suddenly an animal runs in front of you. What do you say about that animal? Living. So when you wake up, so this division, this is living and this is non-living, are they not both pieces of information in your mind? Are they not both thoughts?
Yeah.
So that is what Yajnavalkya is telling, that the self is the root cause, the essence of both living and non-living. So what we call living and non-living, good and bad, we have a tendency, this is well recognized, which is called duality. The mind can never work without a duality. Advaita, the mind can never experience. Only when we go beyond the mind, do we know what is called Advaita. As long as we live in the plane of Dvaita, so what is the opposite of living? Exactly. But according to Vedanta, there is no such animal called non-living. Non-living, that is why many times I also mentioned, it is Brahman. Now this table is Brahman. So Brahman is described as Satchidananda. Sat Chit Ananda. So what is manifesting in the table? Sat, existence. But it doesn't mean Chit and Ananda are absent in it. They are merely non-manifest. Yeah. You know, we have to understand it from our own selves. You think over it, you will see. When we become pure, there is nothing called non-living. Everything is vibrating with the consciousness of Brahman. That is the teaching. Even from a dualistic point of view, we say creation came from God. Can you believe anything will be non-living, that which comes out of God, can it be non-living? Yeah. Was that the answer you got? But we have to, as I said, you know, any information from outside can only point out the direction. But the real understanding should come from within ourselves. That will come when we do our sadhana.
Can I make a comment? Brahman, this projection of Brahman is the manifestation, including non-living, living, everything. So that way the same Brahman I understand as energy. If you think it as an energy, so it's in everything. This one Parabrahman is like projected into all this. So the same thing is in everything.
We can also give the illustration of, you know, what is called static energy and kinetic energy. So when it is static, it is like non-living. When it is dynamic, then it is, you can say, that is Sri Ramakrishna gives the illustration of a snake. A snake which is moving and a snake which is lying still. So this division, this is living, non-living, is purely our mental construct. Yeah. But having said that, for at our level, you know, the Brahman is more manifest in Sat Chit Ananda, some are less manifest. Yeah. Sri Ramakrishna also gives the illustration, everything is Divine Mother. So he says, you know, that Shibu, he brought up a child called Shibu, his brother's son. This Shibu say, one day he says, you know, this lightning is happening, rainy season, lightning, thunder. And he wants to catch some butterflies. And then this thunder is going, shh, don't make any noise. I want to catch hold of the buttermilk. For him, everything is living, as though somebody is making noise. That is the mistake we are, even, you know, from the viewpoint of physics, this idea is now so beautifully harmonizes. According to physics, what is the essence of everything? What is the essence of everything? Energy. So, is energy living or dead? So, matter and energy. Energy becomes matter, matter becomes energy, or waves. Sometimes in the form of waves, sometimes in the form of energy. Or matter and energy. When it is in the form of matter, it looks like non-living. When it is in the form of energy, so how can something come if it is not already there? It's wonderful, you know.
Swamiji, we have this simple understanding that anything that breathes is living, like the table, we think it is non-living. Because it doesn't breathe or move or do anything except it serves a purpose.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe one of the reasons.
The point is this. When we say something is living and something is non-living, who is making the two viewpoints? From the objective point of view, this is living, this is non-living. From the subjective point of view, who is making that division? Yeah. So to illustrate this point from another angle, so let me give this. Here is a table. Here is a table, right? You ask a woodworm what it is. What does it say? You ask a carpenter, what does he say?
His livelihood.
Wood. You ask a physicist, what does he say?
Molecules.
You ask Ramakrishna, what does he say? So, you know, when we are saying this is living, as though that is the final judgment. There is nothing called final. This is with regard to everything. You see, you ask Bin Laden, and who is the worst evil in this world? What does he say?
George Bush.
And you ask George Bush, who is it? Then what does he say? Then who is right? You know, that is how we say, this is an enemy. But he has friends. What does his friend say? So, what is the correct understanding? There is no fixed understanding. It all depends upon circumstances. Yeah. That is the truth. But this is, for me, this is the most wonderful thing. That whether he is a friend or enemy, living or non-living, what does it depend upon? If I am sleeping in deep sleep, who is living and who is non-living? I am making that division. This is one point. Another viewpoint, you know. This actually, there is no such difference between living and non-living. See, what do I eat? Living or non-living? See, even if it is living, no, suppose I take a living fish and put in my mouth and then masticate, what happens to it? Non-living, like a piece of wood. See how it becomes living as soon as it becomes me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And what is living, this cell, after some time what happens? It is changing its form, it's becoming non-living. Did I tell you about that one grandmother who was a Protestant? She became a Hindu suddenly under the influence of a Swami. And she had a grandson and he died, he was dead. That is how she got consolation from a Hindu Swami, became converted to Hinduism. So she started believing in the theory of Punarjanma. And previously she used to eat beef. Now she stopped eating beef. So she was asked, why did you stop eating beef? And she says, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to eat my own grandson. Do you understand that?
Yes.
The grandson, you know, he was buried in, and then, you know, he becomes manure. And out of that manure, plants are grown. Cows eat that plants. So if I eat the cow, whom am I eating? It is true.
It is true, but true.
Whom am I? Living, non-living, living things become non-living. Dead means what? Non-living. Non-living becomes again living. Matter transforms into energy. Energy transforms into matter. I think that is how I understand it.
I read there is this build in which they are trying to recreate the same conditions that we believe to have existed at the time of the Big Bang. So they are testing certain wild experiments. I don't know what they will see, but they are hoping to prove the existence of the particle which confers the properties of matter onto energy, basically converts matter to energy.
They might discover something, but they, when they come to that point, they will find there was another beginning.
Yes.
Yeah. Now there are two theories. One is by astronomers and another theory by the physicists. The astronomers, you know, they say this cosmos is infinite. There is a theory, maybe it is a mirror effect. You know, if you go to any barber shop, you will see
the
same thing on the four sides. So So maybe it is not infinite, maybe, you know, something is reflecting, and you know that is called mirror effect. It is a theory. The physicist point of view, this has been taken very seriously, that we say Big Bang is the beginning of creation of this universe. So, but then the question came, what was before the Big Bang? So the cosmos expands and the cosmos contracts again. So this Big Bang is only the point of expansion. But how did it come to that point? They came to this understanding because there is something called Stephen Hawkins. He was the man who pointed out this what is called the theory of single point of singleness. That means if there is a star, it goes on burning, then it such a state comes that it goes on reducing itself to single point, and then it has such a tremendous gravitational force that which is anywhere near it simply sucks. We can't understand that theory because it's a very abstract theory. Time and space disappear. There is no time space, they don't work there in that field, within that field. So where do they go? So there must be a point where they come out, because you don't believe that matter will be destroyed. So that point where it gets into is called black hole. That which it comes out is called the white hole. So the point is, from that point on, be this Big Bang, he was the man who, that point of singularity is the beginning of the Big Bang. Now, you say, if it's so how did this black hole start? Because there was already something which became ultimately a black hole. Maybe the Big Bang is only something had contracted, so something to contract, it must be an expanded something before. So where do you go back? Go back, it is an infinite circle. It's wonderful.
You mentioned about consciousness. Can you elaborate more on it?
Sorry?
Consciousness?
Yeah.
You mentioned consciousness. Can you elaborate more on it? How can it be increased or changed?
You know, you heard my talk. It is possible only because you are conscious. Now you are asking a question, that also because of the conscious. So what we say, you know, consciousness and conscious or awareness, a limitation, use a bit of that consciousness through a limited instrument is called awareness. But this is, for me, it is wonderful, because if you are not conscious, then nothing exists. When you are conscious, everything exists. Is it not most marvelous thing? That means the existence of the whole universe depends upon whom? Yeah. Annamaite nemira marisunnamaite nemira ee paadu pottuku anname vedamara vedantande. Arthamainda? Pseudo Vedanta. Hey, you know, the Telugu films are full of this Vedanta. So one pseudo Vedantin is singing. You see, everything is Maya. Everything is same. So, whether it is beautiful, you know, Govinda Bhogana or Sunna, Nachuna, is exactly same. So, for this rotten stomach, let us put Govinda Bhoga only. Saralaite nemira mari neerulaite nemira chukkanaina kalakakunda sarale vetamura. Wine and water. What is the big deal of difference? Therefore, without mixing even one drop of water, let us put